Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to share what you've done in my life, in my wife's life, in my children's life, and what you're doing for the ministry that you've called us through, Lord. What a miracle that you can take a wretch like me and pull me out of the world as a brand from the fire and teach me a few things and promise to continue teaching me things, Lord. That's just a wonderful, wonderful experience and relationship. Thank you for it. And I pray that your people would be encouraged tonight to see just how awesome and how loving, how tender, how omniscient, and how amazing our God is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where did I leave off? No, I think I got a little bit further than Tyler being born, which we do have evidence of that. That's good. The other guy, the other guy's name is Micah. He was born. I think we got further than that. What? The beginning of our ministry. That's right. I ended up with the story, at least I think I did, with the story of how the Lord showed me the vision of heaven and how to put the songs with that and create a music program that wouldn't be about me. It would be about the spirit of prophecy and spiritual songs. And so that was the birth of our ministry, and I didn't even realize it. When I had gotten back to the ministry where I worked, my wife, I told my wife all about it. She was excited. She said, why don't you do it here in the church? And I said, sure. And as a result of that, we had the idea, well, why don't we just record it since I'm doing it live? And we did a live recording, and that we put a little bit of artwork with it, and that wound up selling thousands of copies, and we didn't even try. I mean, we were unknown. I didn't know anybody really, but people, I'll tell you one thing about the Adventist family. They are highly efficient at distribution. When they find something they like, man, they just like tell everybody, and that's really a beneficial thing when you want to get something out there. The smoke is following me. I'll try over here for a little bit, or not. So our ministry was being born. I'm creating a microclimate, I think, is what's happening. Our ministry was born, and I told the Lord, if this is what you want me to do, then I basically said to the Lord, I don't have any equipment. I need like a sound system and a microphone, and I don't know who to call. I even told the Lord, I don't want to call anybody, and I don't want to say, hi, I could come and sing and speak at your church. I said, Lord, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to make the phone ring. And I thought, for sure, nobody knows my phone number, so who's going to call me? And before you know it, phone calls started coming in. They knew where I worked. And they started calling and calling, and before you know it, I was getting appointments to go and speak here and speak there and sing here and sing there. And I didn't realize it, but the Lord was actually calling us to start our own ministry. And when I asked the Lord if this is what he wanted me to do, and I don't necessarily recommend this because you could read his response wrong. I did ask him in my early faith. I said, I need a sound system. I need this. So I told the Lord everything that I needed. And at that stage in my walk, he provided everything that I needed. Now, what I said, you got to be careful with that, is if the Lord is calling you, you go forward with what you have, no matter where you're at, and you start laboring for the Lord right then and there. Does that make sense? You can say, Lord, here's what I think I need, but I'm going to go forward and believing you're going to provide those things should I need them. Now, what God did was a miracle for me. He actually said, I started looking up different sound systems that I wanted to get, little portable ones and microphones and different things, and I didn't have any money to buy it. I said, Lord, not only do we need this equipment, but I don't have any money to buy it. Now, that presents a little problem because I would need some equipment if I'm going to go do concerts. So the organizers of the camp meeting called me up and said, Christian, we have some money left over after we paid all of our expenses. And we decided to divide it up again among the three ministries that ministered that weekend, and we'd like to give you some of that money. And I said, oh, no, give it to one of the other speakers. I'm not I just came because I wanted to serve. And they said, nope, you were one of the ministries. And I'm thinking, I was one of the ministries? I'd never conceived of that. You know what I'm saying? And they divided up the money, and the amount that was sent was exactly enough to pay for the identical sound system and the microphone. It was like to the $5. It was that close. And so I was like, wow, praise the Lord. So we went forward, and we started getting more invitations, and we came up with a name, the Shepherd's Call, and the Lord impressed that name on my heart because, you know, the Lord is calling to each one of us. And he, of course, is the shepherd, the great shepherd, and he's calling out. And by God's grace, I heard his call and responded, and Kobe heard his call. And we went forward, and we thought, wow, you know, I think the shepherd is still calling to his people. And so the name Shepherd's Call came about, and that's the name of our ministry, Shepherd's Call Ministry. And we are singing, speaking, and media ministry now. And when we left, I worked there at Steps to Life for a total of 3 years. And about 2.5 years in is when that whole event happened, when I went to the camp meeting and all of that. So for a year, I would go off on the weekends and minister different places. And finally, about 6 months into that, I had said to Steps to Life, about a year into that, I said to Steps to Life, I sense God's calling me, and I really need to go forward with this by faith. And I told them, I'm going to give you a six-month notice. And because they had asked me if I'd give them a long notice because they wanted me to replace somebody who was doing all the television and media production, and that we needed to get somebody in and train them up. So I gave them 6 months. Well, they hadn't found anybody in 6 months, so I wound up being there a whole year longer. And our ministry was growing, and I didn't expect it was going to grow so fast. And we started getting invitations, and everywhere God called us, we just decided to go. We said, Lord, if you call, we're going. And I went, just to give you an idea, when we left Steps to Life, I did not know how we were going to pay our bills. And God now was my direct employer. I wasn't a ministry worker working for a ministry, and that ministry gave me a paycheck. Even though it was a nominal paycheck, it was still a paycheck. You know what I'm saying? Adults? And the Lord called, and now we were leaving. Now, ever since I started in the Lord's work, I always had a paycheck, even though it was small, but I always had a paycheck. Now, God's calling me, and I don't have a paycheck. So we left there, and we had some friends of ours give us a loan to purchase some video equipment. And so we took one of the jobs from Steps, and we did some editing. So I had a little bit of income. It was like $400 a month. And for a family of four in California, that's nothing. So we were like, okay, Lord, you've got to make this happen. And I want to tell you, from the moment we moved out back to California from Kansas, and we stepped out by faith, we have been going for 11 years now. There's only been a six-month time where the Lord didn't bring in funds. So for 10.5 years, every single month, our bills had been met from the day we stepped forward. When you look at the numbers, it just didn't make sense. But when you go by faith, because you can't go by sight, then things spiritually make sense. Does that make any sense? All right. So we went forward. We moved out to California. We wanted to move into a country home. And so we started looking, couldn't find anything. And we didn't realize that the home God wanted us in was not available yet. So sometimes, even when you're praying and you're asking God, please provide, things don't always go the way that you think they're going to. But we got a home. We rented a little duplex there in Manteca, California. And that little house was in not one of the expensive places in town because we couldn't afford that. To give you an idea, we were right behind us, behind our fence, was the railroad tracks. There was a police department and the fire department. And we did not get a lot of sleep. And I told my wife, I'm convinced that one of those engineers that drive the trains, I'm convinced that he must have an ex-wife that live in these apartments. because every night, wah, wah, just, you know, it's like, oh, you know. And we, I mean, it literally would rattle the pictures off the wall in our bedroom. We finally just put the pictures on the floor. It was just, and here I had been in the country for 5-6 years now, and I'm like, I hate the city, you know. And so, but we witnessed to our friends and our neighbors, and God worked a lot of miracles there. And what's interesting was, I had called, and we knew the general area where we would have liked to live, and I called these different property managers, because we weren't in a position to buy a home. Obviously, we didn't have a normal income. And but we could rent. And so I was looking for a place, and I just didn't know. Everywhere there was, they were in town or they were in different areas, and we just didn't like it. And I had called this one property manager and talked to the guy there and told him, you know, what we're looking for, just something out that's quiet. And I called him a number of times, and he had nothing. I woke up in the morning because I was just sick and tired of all the noise and the yelling and the screaming and the boom boxes and or the big booming cars and all the stuff in that neighborhood. And I just said, Lord, I was impressed to call the same guy I'd already called, and he didn't have anything. So I called him in the morning, and I even told my wife, I'm going to call him again. I feel like I need to call him. She said, honey, you just talked to him a couple days ago. I said, I just have this overwhelming impression. Well, I called up. And he said, interesting, you should call. I just got off the phone with a guy, and I think this house might be perfect for you guys, except it's a little far out. And I said, okay. Like, what do you mean far out? He goes, well, and he started describing it. It's at the end of a 3.5-mile dirt road that's along a cliff. I'm like, that's cool. It's a 120-year-old farmhouse. I don't care. It sits, well, it's really beautiful, he said, and it sits on 27 acres of, it's 140 acres, but it's 27 acres of walnut trees. Kind of like that. And everything that he thought would be a problem, I'm like, sounds good. So I went out and looked at it. The owners came out and met us. They liked us so much, they actually reduced the rent for us. And so we moved out in the middle of, it was 127 acres, that's what it was. 127 acres, 27 acres of walnuts, and we were in the middle of nowhere, with natural spring-fed water into the house. I mean, it was a fixer-upper, but it was going to be great. Out in the middle of nowhere, I built this little portable booth that I could record. In fact, we started recording our consecration album there, and they had a little loft up there. We turned that into the office, and so from that point on, all the way up until just recently, we have always operated the ministry out of the home, and that gets difficult many times, especially as we became more and more widely used by the Lord, and we started having international calls, and we started going a lot of different places. Then the Lord impressed us to, after we were there for a number of years, to actually sell off everything that we had, buy a motorhome, and go around this country for an entire year. And so we sold. In fact, we came up to this area. In fact, we were at the Reeves house and parked there for a couple of weeks. In fact, my little one, Micah, he was just a little guy. He actually tumbled down their 13 steps and cracked his head wide open right there in their house. I have pictures on my phone. It's pretty amazing. We had two nurses there, washed all the blood off and shaved his head and butterflied it right there in the kitchen and took care of it. And so we went around the country for an entire year. In fact, we had sent out an email and said, and a newsletter, if you want us to come to your area, we'd love to come and sing and preach and minister in your area. Just let us know. We're going to get a motorhome and go around the country. Well, after we sent that out, within a 2.5-3 week period, the entire year was booked. People just really responded. And so we just set up an itinerary, and we put 27 or 28,000 miles on that vehicle. And that wasn't including our excursions. That was just the motorhome, and then we went out from there. And we went everywhere. We hit all but, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 states. And we hit as many national parks as we could. In fact, I remember one time we were doing concerts everywhere and preaching everywhere. We would go to Salvation Armies. We would go and set up in a park and just start playing the music and to start singing a concert right in the park. People just gather like, what's going on, you know? And we hand out literature. And then I remember we did we were at a campground in the middle of nowhere. I think we were like in Montana or something. I don't really remember where we were. Huh? Oh, okay. I thought Tata was correcting me. I don't know. He was so little. I don't think he remembers. But we actually set up in the campground. I had a little generator, and we tucked the generator off to the side, and we plugged in the sound equipment that God had provided a couple years before, and we had a couple churches come up and meet us. It was in Idaho, Sandpoint area. And we wound up doing a concert out in the middle of nowhere, a little meadow, and there were gorgeous trees all around us, and we had a grass, and we had the sky, and I actually stopped in the middle of it and said, you know what? Look at our church today. The trees are its walls, and the grass is its carpet, and look how high that ceiling is. And it was just neat experiences like that, that the Lord allowed us to go around and then meet God's people. And at that point, I had started giving my testimony, actually, and then I realized just how hurt many people are in this church, and not just this church, but everywhere. And when you start giving testimonies like mine, you start having older people and younger people and people coming up and saying, I'm struggling too, and I'm having these kind of issues too right now, or I did when I was, you know, people coming to us crying. And so we actually wound up staying in areas and altering our schedule a little bit so we could be in those areas for a couple of weeks at least to just kind of try to help. And I didn't even realize it, but a counseling aspect of our ministry started to open up when we just said, Lord, we're not equipped for this. And there again, you know, God said, Christian, go. This is what I want you to do. But and honestly, I have no vocal training, no speech preparation training. I mean, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? There's no training to do what I'm doing. And God's saying, go. And now he wants me to start counseling people. And like, some people want to commit suicide. And other ones are on the verge of divorce. And I'm thinking, we are terribly unqualified for this. And all we knew to do was to get on our knees. And we, even with the people we were starting to counsel with, every counselor we'd start with, we'd say, look, we don't know anything, but we know God, and God knows everything. And so some of the stuff that would come out from the Holy Spirit out of our mouths and out of my wife's mouth, I was like, brother, sister, I didn't know that. That came from the Lord, you know. And Kobe and I would sit there and talk afterwards and go, how did you know that? And she's like, no, I don't know. And I said, that's the Holy Spirit. We were just amazed at what God was doing, because God wants to heal his people. He wants to repair our hearts and our minds, and he wants to prepare us for heaven. And so if he has to work through doctors, great. If he has to work through pastors, great. If he has to work through guys like me, okay, great. So the reality is, God wants to work through each one of us. You know, you've heard the saying before, right? Who does God call? The qualified? Sometimes. That's a trick question. Sometimes. But sometimes I wasn't qualified in the eyes of the church or the world. But God says, you know what? I've called you and I will qualify you. The fact that each one of you has a calling means God will qualify you to fulfill the calling. Amen? So we went forward around the whole country. We absolutely loved it. It was amazing. It was powerful. It really united our family together. I'd been traveling so much that it was nice to actually just be with my family for that solid year. And that was very special for us. And from there, we moved into another home. And we kind of grew a little bit of roots there. We were going to buy that house by God's grace. It didn't work out. We wound up deciding not to move there, or not to stay there. And we went out to visit my wife's family. Wow. Went out to visit my wife's family. We wound up finding that the Lord impressed us to move to New Mexico. I had a terrible thing happen right around that time. I had a diagnosis of a cholesteatoma. I had already had eye surgery and other problems. And so it seems like we would advance and then we would get kind of like beat back. And then we'd advance and we'd get beat back. And the devil wasn't going to rock our faith, at least through finances or different things like that, but he started attacking our physical bodies. And I actually had a cholesteatoma. And basically what that did is it's kind of like a tumor. It's not a lifestyle type tumor. It's a tumor because of defects in your ear. And all the stuff that's supposed to come out doesn't come out, and eventually it creates an enzyme that dissolves bone. And it dissolved. You have three hearing bones. It dissolved 2.5 of my hearing bones. And so I'm deaf in my right ear now. I have what's called unusable hearing. if I sleep on this ear, I can sleep nice and it's nice and quiet. If I sleep on this one, everything's extremely loud because this one's very sensitive. So the reality is, here I am a singer and a speaker, and I'm facing a surgery. Not only am I going to lose my hearing, and that's already a given, but I'm actually potentially could have facial paralysis. I could lose my taste buds, and I could possibly even not make it off the operating room table because the CAT scans were not conclusive as to whether or not it had already entered into my brain. And if it had gone into my brain, it's a very deadly situation. Well, I've got a really cool story about that. God, when I found out at the doctor's office, my wife was not there. She was out on in the valley. We were up in the mountains. She went down to the Central Valley to do some shopping. And when I got home, I started looking up cholesteatoma. And within a short amount of time, I had made myself so upset and emotional because of all the horror stories of cholesteatomas. And I called my wife, and I could barely get out because I was crying and I was upset that I have a tumor in my ear, you know. And she's like, "What?" So she came home. By the time she got there, I'm telling you, I was at total peace. 45 minutes later, when she got there, I was in total peace because I just got on my knees and I said, "I don't need to be looking in the internet. I need to be looking to my God." And I started praying to the Lord. I didn't know why this would have happened. Why would you take and allow a singer to lose his hearing? That just didn't make sense to me. So, okay, I guess I'll become a preacher alone if I can't sing again. All this stuff goes through your mind, and I just said no, and I just resolved it. And I said, "Lord, this is your ear." I honestly got to that place. If you want to take it, you take it. No problem. It's yours, not mine. I am bought with a price. I am not my own. And by the time my wife got home, she was like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Everything's great." She's like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's good." And I explained it all to her. She said, "Amen." And so if you want to hear more of that story, we have 2 sermons you can get. They're all free. Everything we have sermon-wise and stuff, that's free. It's called All Things Work Together for Good. And that was a sermon that I put together looking toward that surgery. And then All Things Did Work Together for Good is a sermon right after that experience, looking back and seeing how God had worked a miracle. God had so worked the miracles for us. I didn't have the money to pay for a $100,000 operation. I don't have health insurance. We're like, "Lord, how are we going to do this?" So we went to the doctors and said, "Look, we don't have insurance. Is there anything you can do?" They said, "Well, if you can pay cash, we'll cut it in half." So all the hospital fees went in half, actually 60% off in the hospital fees, and the doctor cut all his stuff in half. And then God's people just rallied around us, and they sent more funds than we needed. And that had never happened before in our ministry. Incredible. It wound up being a $40,000 bill, and it was paid in full every time the bills came. We were able to write out a check. In fact, we had a couple come to us and say they became recent friends of us. They loved our ministry and what we were doing. And they said, "You know what? We don't want you to worry about the finances. We want you to heal and get better. We're selling our home. We just sold it. We're going to set $25,000 aside for you." And I was like, "Wow." And she said, "If you need it, it's there." Well, I called her up and I said, "We don't need the money. God has paid the bill." And she said, "Praise the Lord. That's incredible." And a week later, a check showed up for $23,000 from them. And I called her up and I said, "I told you we didn't need it." She says, "You're in ministry. You always need funds." I said, "You're right." It's true. Because we're always trying to advance the work. Amen? And so there's always a project. There's always something that we can do to expand the work. And so I said, "But this is made out to me and Kobe." not to the ministry. And she said, actually, we decided to give this to you personally because we know you want to go to New Mexico with your family and buy a home there. And so we had wanted to go buy a home there and to build a building. And the reality is we didn't have money for a down payment. And she and her husband gave us the down payment. Isn't that incredible? And people don't be tempted to think, wow, you're just so lucky. It has nothing to do with luck. It has everything to do with God's providence. It has everything to do with the blessings of heaven. Amen?
Well, no one's ever given me that kind of money.
Well, you know what? They had never given me that kind of money either. But God knew our need. God knows that we were putting every dollar that we personally could into the ministry he called us to. And so if I'm sacrificing, I'm not going to ask anyone else to sacrifice. So God can bless that. Amen? So we moved to New Mexico. God works a series of miracles to where we're able to get into a house that I would have never purchased. It was 2,200 square feet, and I was looking for a little tiny fixer-upper, frankly, with just a little bit of land. This one had 2.5 acres, had a nice barn on it, and it was a horse property, already had all the fencing, and it was a nice house. And it wasn't even on the market yet. And God led us to that house before it was ever even on the market, and the people lowered the price $50,000 so we could afford it. Come on, what is that? That is a miracle. That is a God that has a plan. And we can be part of the plan, or we can let others be part of it, and we can look on and go, wow, they're so lucky. Right? I'd rather be part of it. So we wound up getting that property. God worked a series of miracles for us to start the building process. We didn't have a dollar to start a 4,000 square foot building project. Well, we still don't have a dollar, and the building is finished. It's completely finished. It's completely paid for. We probably put $225,000 into the building. Done. Audio video studio, audio booth, video studio, control room, editing room, offices, workroom for assembly, a shop to build our sets and our props and whatever else that we're going to need when we start videotaping our productions. We just started our first video production just 2 weeks ago. A little history of Shepherd's Call and a walk through the building so the people that have supported us over the years can see just what the Lord has done. And so the reality is we set out with no money. And God said, you don't need money, you just need to go forward by faith, and I'll send it when you need it. And that's exactly what happened. We had from the guys from the foundation, he told me that he wanted to, I don't have time, we're out of time. Where are we now? We are working miracles. God is working miracles through our ministry. We have now traveled around the world. And we continue to. We go anywhere that God calls us. I go and I will preach in Sunday churches. And we do and we have. They give us the pulpit. I don't go there just to sing. They give me the pulpit to preach. And we go to feast keeping events. I'm not a feast keeper, but we go to feast keeping events. We go to independent groups. We go to conference groups. We go anywhere that Jesus would have gone himself. Amen? And I don't care what anybody says. If they have a problem with it, then don't send us a dime and pray for me. Amen? But the reality is God said, go to every kindred, nation, and tongue. That includes every kindred, nation, tongue, even within the Adventist church. Hello? So we're not drawing lines. We go to Sunday churches. It's amazing. I wish I could tell you all the miracles of what God has done. We go to these Sunday churches, and they keep inviting us back and back and back. And we're just giving them pure, straight, present truth. And they want it. Because we get in with the music, and then I say, oh, by the way, I preach. And they go, oh, really? And send me some of your sermons. I send them. They go, yeah, sure, come on in. So I get there to do concerts and then preaching. It's so awesome to work with people that know nothing of what we know as Adventists. It's so refreshing to the soul, amen? So where are we now? Well, we just got the building finished. We're starting to equip it with all high-definition HD audio video, or, well, there is HD audio, but HD video equipment. And our goal is to produce all of our sermons and send them out for free on DVD and audio around the world. We started a message of the month, and that is in 30-something countries, and I don't remember even how many thousands of homes. It's just amazing. When you just put your foot forward, God opens the doors. And our goal is to produce multiple television programs, and 3ABN and I have a great relationship. I sing and preach on there already. And we have a great relationship. They're open. They want anything that we can produce, and they're excited about seeing it and potentially putting it on the air. Amazing Facts Television just called us a week and a half ago and said, "What do you got? We want to see it." David Gates already puts our stuff out there. So we're just going to go and present beautiful, technically accurate, spirit-filled, present truth messages out there to a world that is looking for that truth. So it's nothing that other people are already doing that. We're just another one that's going to continue to do that. And then we want to bring in young people. And we want to set up our media missionary camps. And we're going to bring in young people and teach them how to use media and how to create media properly, including the music beds as they go through a music seminar while they're there, including as they go through a TV and movie theater seminar, how to edit and how not to edit. So they're going to not just come, here's how you use a camera, but here's how you can use the tools properly that glorify God. Amen? So pray for us. We have a lot of awesome projects going on, and I'm going to enlist my young people here to pray for Shepherd's Call Ministry. What's really awesome is my father-in-law, who hated me, remember that story? He is now He is now a Christian. He started working for the ministry, and I asked him, all you need to do is start having morning devotions with me. And he said, okay. Well, those morning devotions led to him asking Christ into his heart. Amen. His wife, my mother-in-law, she joined the ministry about a year ago. She is now a Christian. Praise God. We have an accountant now that works with us, and we also have a brand new young man that's 20 years old. I just hired him a few days ago. He was interning with us for a few weeks, and he's going to help run the audio-video side of things for us. So any of you young people that are interested in media production, make sure you get on my friends, be one of my friends on Facebook or email me, because we're going to start internship programs soon. And we do it, and we do it really cool, really awesome. And we'd love to have you be a part of it. We got the booms. We got everything that we need almost. So we are in November going to shoot the music seminar in a local church in Albuquerque. We're going to do it the first weekend of November. Please pray for that. The devil hates us talking about one of his strongest things that he uses, music, especially in the church. I've been kicked out of conferences and all that type of stuff because I've been teaching young people what I've been teaching you here. And so pray for that. We need, if you young people would pray specifically, we need about $25,000 to buy the last couple pieces of equipment we need to do it properly for broadcast quality. So pray for that, please. And we need that within about a month, month and a half. That's a big order. But I serve a big God. And so we'll get those couple pieces and we'll be able to do it and do it well. So that's about where things are at. The point of all of this is this. God is able. Amen? Are you willing? God is able. Are you willing? And if you are willing, then God is able to do amazing, miraculous things through you. I am only as special as you are. We're children of God. And God wants to work through you young people. You went out knocking on doors today. He worked through you today. Whoever went out there and did that today. Amen? So ask God, what is my calling? Lord, what is it that you want me to do for you? If you're not even willing to do something for God, then say, Lord, I don't really know what my calling is. I don't really care what it is, but please make my heart willing to be open to your calling. Start with that prayer. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too young. I'm too skinny. I'm the wrong color. No, those are all excuses. Because we're all part of the family of God, and God wants us to get out there and do something. So what can you give him? What can you, yes, right, you can give him your heart. And if you give him your heart and let him come in, then something will change inside of you, and you will have to go forward and do something for him. It's the least we can do, amen? So who here is excited about going out and trying to do something for God? Just something. You know what? That makes the Lord probably sing right now. I'm going to sing a song for you. And then I'm going to ask for two male volunteers to stand over here and hand out some of these newsletters. Be careful. There's a little card. I didn't realize it. My staff put some little cards in there. And I wouldn't have had them put that in there. I didn't realize it. So they're going to want to slip out. So please don't litter the grounds with things that fall out of here. And also the CDs will be over here. So I need two young men when we're done. Who would be that? Okay, one and two. All right. And you guys can take part of this, and you'll stand over there with one of you can have the CDs, and the other one can have some of these, and give one to anybody that wants it. Adults, that's fine as well. And then I need two ladies to stand over there as you exit. And, okay, yes, and yes, okay? You can hand them out over there. Does that make sense? Okay. And this song is entitled, What Can I Give Him?
What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? What can I give him? What can I give him? I can give him my heart. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? What can I give him? What can I give him? I can give him my heart. What can I give? What can I give? If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? What can I give him? What can I give him? We can give him our hearts. We can give him our
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you've given everything for us. You chose to give up all of heaven and come to be here and live like one of us. You gave up everything to ransom us, Father. And then you return to your throne after you rise, and you've promised to give us the Holy Spirit, and so you've given us the second most precious gift, and that is the Holy Spirit, only after salvation. And then you've promised to give us a new heart. You've promised to give us a new mind. You've promised to give us the strength to get through each and every day. You've promised to embolden us and to help us go out and proclaim the three angels' messages. Father, please take our hearts, for it's not mine to give. Take it. Reshape it. Place it back within our chests, Father. And I pray you would give us a vision of heaven and a vision of a finished work. Lord, draw close to us. Closer, Father. Even closer. And help each one of us to become active Seventh-day Adventist Christians, living the truth, believing the truth, and sharing the truth. What I can give you is my yes. Yes, Lord. I will respond to the shepherd's call. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my friends.